We're doing Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Ayin Aleph, and the Magid Midovna had said that since that great occurrence of the revelation at Sinai, throughout the period of the first temple for over 1,000 years, no one in the world contested what had occurred at Sinai. The fact that we had the Luchos throughout the period of the judges, and then into the period of the first temple, and on the Luchos he had a miracle. He had the Mem and Samach that were floating. He had the rock in the middle was carved out to hold the shape of the Mem. The Mem and the Samach are a complete circle or a complete square, and the middle stone that holds the shape of the Mem or Samach was floating miraculously. And during that period, just like a person wouldn't doubt who his father, mother, brother are, by the same token, no one doubted the truth of the revelation of Sinai and the truth of the Torah.
That's what King Solomon said.
Hear, O children, the teachings of the Father, and listen to the wisdom of understanding, for I've given you a good teaching. Do not leave my Torah. Meaning, what he meant to say is, we have the Torah based on the tradition. As the verse says, God says at the end of the Torah, he says, you have a responsibility to give this over to your children and to your grandchildren. And the father is responsible to teach the son, and the son is responsible to hear the words of his father. But nonetheless, the father shouldn't invent his own terms. He wants to teach the Torah, he's responsible. His responsibility is to stick to the tradition and teach his sons the words of the Torah. Not to come and tell his son, let me tell you a story. Well, there was this beginning, there was creation. Don't invent the words. There's a written Torah. And the responsibility is that we retain the tradition and we don't change from it. And that's why when it comes to the written Torah, the responsibility to teach your child the written Torah is upon every parent, irrespective of how knowledgeable he is. It doesn't matter if he's a tzaddik, if he's a rabbi or not, it doesn't matter. When it comes to the written Torah, everyone's supposed to teach their kids. When it comes to the oral law, so then you need a tradition for the oral law. The written Torah, you buy a chumash, you teach your kid chumash. The oral law, okay, if you don't know, so you'll hire someone. Then we start discussing how you do it. But with regard to the written law, everyone's responsibility is equal. When it comes to the oral law, the sages said, you have to analyze the teacher. If you view him as an angel, then learn Torah from him. And if not, then don't learn from him. That's only with regard to the oral law. There Chazal said, the student has a responsibility to analyze the person. You're receiving tradition from him. It's the oral law. So then is he a person you want to receive your tradition from? Is he a person who you feel you can trust, who you want to learn from? But when it comes to the written Torah, there's nothing I'm supposed to change. I'm just supposed to teach him what it says. It's like a person delivering a letter. You don't say, I'll only accept my mail from a pious mailman. You don't say that, because he's just delivering the letter. By the same token, the written law, every father must teach his kid, and every kid is supposed to receive it from his father. The oral law here, the Magen Midovna is alluding to a very interesting concept. He says, if you think your father's a bum, if you think your father has bad midot, don't learn the oral Torah from him. And he says, our sages said it about the Rebbe, but that includes the father as well. When it comes to the oral law, you have to look at the person and say, is this a person I want to emulate? Is this a person I admire? If so, then learn from him, and if not, then not. You don't have to tell him. Just go to yeshiva. We don't sit and tell him. I don't think a father has to know that. That's why. You find your way out of it, like many things in life. When it comes to the written law, all he's doing is giving over a text. That's why the verse says, that's what King Solomon said. He says, listen to your father's teaching, because all he's doing is giving you over a letter. And being that the Torah was so validated in those days, all the nations agreed to the validity of the Torah. There was no one among the nations who would deny the truth of the written law. And all the nations still learn and respect and honor the written law. They have other claims. They say God sent the New Testament, other things, but respect for the written Torah that everyone has. And that, he says, is based on the strong tradition that we have. And you see the Torah word for word, letter for letter. Jews in all areas of the diaspora have the same Torah. That's the strength of the written Torah. And that's going back to the concept that he said in the beginning of this chapter, that there's something that you have that you receive from someone else, and yet you can give it validity. And he gave criterion. How do you know what to validate from something you're hearing from someone else? So in conclusion, he's saying the written Torah is the greatest example of something that you receive from someone else, and yet you can trust, and you see how the whole world respects the written Torah. That in and of itself is part of the weight we give to the validity of the written Torah. Its consistency throughout people, the people who are giving it over, the one who is the source of the written Torah, all the things he said throughout the chapter at the end of the day are the reason why the whole world respects and honors and values the written Torah, what the nations called the Old Testament, what we call the Torah.